Please turn to Exodus 12. How good to have the Lord in our life and have hope and peace. Exodus 12. As we know, Pharaoh would not allow the people of Israel to leave Egypt. The Lord has brought 9 plagues upon Egypt. Pharaoh's heart is hard. God has shown his power and might and his authority over all creation, and Pharaoh won't relent. And he just shared with Pharaoh, we read last time, concerning the 10th and final plague, that death to the firstborn in Egypt is going to happen. And now the Lord gives Moses instruction on this plague, concerning this plague. It's on what we call the Passover. And just so happens, Passover begins this year on Good Friday night. And what we read about are what they celebrate at Passover. It's this 10th and final plague. And Moses is given instructions on Israel, what they should do in order that they won't be affected by this plague. We know the big plague in our life, sin. And this so parallels our salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we see here in this 10th plague. Verse 1 and 2, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. There is a civil calendar, and there is a spiritual calendar. It's a religious calendar for Israel. And what he's telling them here is, this month, when I start this plague, this month, it's going to be for you a beginning of months. It's now going to become the first month of the year. It's sort of like in the March-April time frame. That's why it coincides with Easter a lot. He says, you're now going to have a new beginning, a new calendar, a religious calendar, and this is going to be the first month of that calendar. This is a big inning for the Israelites. This is the new beginning. The Hebrew name for this month is Abib. And Abib means ear month. Now, why would it mean ear month? Because the grain was in the ear at this time of the year. And so it's called Abib. And you know what's interesting? We get a new beginning when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It says we become a new creation. We start a new life. We're born again. And so now he's going to speak to them on what to do here. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. So he gives them some instructions. He says, on this new month, your new calendar, on the 10th day of this month, you're going to take a lamb or share a lamb if you don't have a large household, or you don't have one. You're to take it, and it's to be a lamb without spot or blemish. And as we read of this event, the Passover institute, you know, when it was instituted and the lamb to be sacrificed, we clearly see that all of this points to Jesus. It points to Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's a type of Jesus Christ pointing forward. There's no doubt about it that this is what this is about, and how God spared the Israelites and brought them to the promised land. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 5. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. In other words, you're going to create something new here. You know, they would have a little leaven and pass it from loaf to loaf, save a little, so that it was always carried on. And it's sort of yeast is what he's talking about, so that the dough would rise. He says, but I want you to purge out the old leaven. That's what God's going to tell them. Get rid of the leaven. But here, it's related to Jesus. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, without sin now. For indeed, Christ our Passover, here it is, was sacrificed for us. He's our Passover. We're passed over and not killed for our sin. I love this. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. We're a new lump. When we come to Christ, we're a new lump. That's what we are. New person, and we're going to grow. And sometimes we just grow and grow and grow, hopefully. This is all about Jesus. At this time, you know, as we can see, this is talking about our Lord. Let's look at the scriptures, how they point to Jesus. First of all, it says in Exodus here, it has to be a lamb without spot or blemish. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 19. Let's start at verse 18. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was without blemish or without spot. And the lamb that was sacrificed had to be without spot or blemish. You know, as we share with people in other religions that don't believe that Jesus is God or the Son of God, or, you know, that all religions are the same, Jesus, the deity of Jesus, is the difference between our faith and all other faiths. Jesus had to be the Son of God and always like us without sin, because he became that Passover lamb. Any other man would be sinful. He's the only one that would qualify that walked this earth. See that? Let's turn to Hebrews 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, a couple books earlier before 1 Peter. Hebrews 4, verse 15. It tells us, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. No blemish. No blemish. Without sin. So he qualified. Now let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 29. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, what? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So this lamb points to Jesus, who would take our sin upon himself, be a sacrifice acceptable to God for our sin. So that's the first thing we see. And as we read in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, he becomes our Passover. So back to our text in Exodus 12, and we get to verse 6. Now you shall keep it until, so take that lamb and keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Started off at the 10th, they got it. Then keep it till the 14th day. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So this is when the Passover is going to start. At twilight, they are to kill it. The 14th day of Abib, you're to slaughter it, and you're going to sacrifice it to God. We'll see that they're going to sacrifice it to God. Now, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. So this lamb we see becomes a sacrifice. What did Jesus do? Became our sacrifice. Ephesians 5, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, what? An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Jesus became a sacrifice to God for us. And it was acceptable. So we see that. The lamb, no blemish, no spot. Jesus meets that. And he's the sacrifice for our sin. So back to our text. once they slaughter it, then they shall, verse 7, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. So where they were to take that blood of the lamb that was now dead and put it on, we can understand the two doorposts, two sides of the door. The lintel was that cross piece over the door. So it's on the top and on the sides. That's where they were to put the blood, right over the door. And this blood on the wood is going to mean something, as we know. Verse 8. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast it in fire. You're going to take it and consume it. With unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. So it's to be, this sacrifice is to be totally consumed. And then he gives them some instructions, verse 11. And thus you shall eat it, so you're to partake of the lamb, this Passover lamb, but you do it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. He's saying, dress up and be ready to travel fast. You're to eat this sacrifice, but you're going to eat it all dressed up with your sandals on and ready to go. So why do we call it Passover? Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, Jehovah. I'm going to execute judgment on everyone and show you that these are false gods. I'm going to judge them. See that I am the Lord. So, and verse 13, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. That's why they were to put the blood on there, marked by the blood of the lamb. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So you get the idea? The Lord's going to strike the firstborn in all the households. Where is he not going to strike? Where there's the sign of the blood on the doorposts. We can see Jesus' blood shed on the cross. And what will they escape? They'll escape this judgment. They'll be passed over simply because of the sign of the blood. So we can see how that points to us. We're going to be passed over and not experience God's wrath and judgment. We just go to be with the Lord. And it's wonderful. The blood shall be a sign and will be passed over. And we can see how that pointed to Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. First John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because of the blood of the Lamb, we're cleansed from all sin, so judgment passes by over us. Isn't that wonderful? All unbelievers are going to face judgment. We won't. We've been passed over. We'll go to be with the Lord. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, verse 11. 11 and 12. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. He came not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. So that's great. And as we read earlier in 1 Peter 1:19, he's saved by the precious blood of the Lamb, pointing to Jesus. Back to our text, verse 14. And then he tells them, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. He says, this is your memorial day where you've been delivered. You remember this for all generations. You were passed over. You were kept alive. And you're to celebrate this every year, all, in all generations, forever. And then 15 to 20 here, verses 15 to 20. He tells them what to do. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, in other words, it's bread that has no leaven in it or yeast, so it doesn't rise, it's flat. That's why they have the wafers when they celebrate this, bread without leaven in it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you're to remove leaven from your houses. Get rid of it. Leaven is a symbol of sin in the Bible. We get rid of it. You remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Hey, you can't continue in sin. On the first day, there's going to be a holy convocation. That's when they celebrate the Passover. A holy convocation, a holy service. And on the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation for you. On the first and seventh. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. The only thing you could do is cook the meal. Otherwise, no work. It's a holy day. It was like the Sabbath day, not to do anything, and you're to celebrate that day. And then verse 17. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on that same day I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, the same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. So here's the way you do it. You have this holy day, the beginning and the end. You get leaven out of the house. You only eat unleavened bread. And really, when they talk about Passover, it's really a combined holiday, holy day for them. It's the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The whole thing lasts 7 days there. So we get into verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. So Moses, okay, that's your instructions. Go ahead and do it. The first day here, you go, you get your lamb and for yourselves, pick it out, and then you're going to kill that Passover lamb. So they were to eat bread without no leaven, and they were to do no work on that first and seventh day. And if one disobeyed, they were to be cut off. You know, it's kind of, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God knows if it's real or not. If we're truly born again, and how is he going to know? By the fruit. He says you shall know them by their fruit. If people continue in sin and there's no signs of conversion, well, of course, they're going to be cut off because they're not really covered by the blood of the Lamb. And they're not really obeying God here on how we should live. And that's how we can tell. And so he says, this is what's going to happen. You don't take part in this anymore. Verse 21. They called for the elders, pick out the lamb. And then verse 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Hey, don't go outside, because the angel of the Lord is going to pass through there, and you need to be safe by being in that house. He says, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Now that's pretty specific. And I just thought of this. What if they just put the blood on the lintel, not on the doorposts? Because he keeps saying it has to be on there and on the doorposts. You know, when we commit to Christ, we really got to obey God and do it the right way. We can't do it half-hearted. It has to be exactly the way the Lord said. There's the blood on there and on the sides, and that's it. In other words, you obey the Lord, you're covered by the blood, and you shall be safe if you stay in there. But you better obey me. Now, remember David sinned and was caught in adultery? When he was, he wrote Psalm 51. Let's turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 7. You know, in Psalm 51, it's wonderful how he just confesses his sin and prays for God's mercy upon him and to be washed of his sin. He did the right thing, and he was forgiven. Psalm 51, 7, he says this, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And that's interesting, hyssop. Hyssop was this leafy plant. And he mentions that when he calls for a cleansing from the Lord. Isn't that something? So I don't know what it means, but just interesting that that's what he prays for. Purge me with hyssop. And it must put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And back to our text, verse 24. We see that you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. Don't stop. This is a feast day. Don't stop celebrating it. And it will come to pass, and here's why. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, and you will get there, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. You continue to do this. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads in worship. See, this was so that the future generations would know what happened. They would continue observing this feast forever and all the generations. And then each year when that would come around, I'm sure the whole family was excited about celebrating this feast. And the children would ask, well, why do we do this? Well, they would go over the story of how the Lord delivered them from the bondage in Egypt. It's good to continue to go over things, spiritual things in our life, and share with the younger generation what God has done in our life. And so they obeyed. Verse 28, the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Now, it came to pass at midnight that they did what they were supposed to do. The Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon. No one was missed. Whether they were in jail or in their house or wherever they were, the firstborn was slain, unless they were covered by the blood. And all the firstborn of the livestock, those two were slain. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. I can't imagine the weeping and wailing at that time when the plague came to pass. Now, once that happens, Pharaoh gets the point. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. He says, hey, go out. Please get out of here. Also, take your flocks, your herds, which you wanted to take with you, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead. Get them out of here." So the people took their dough before it was leavened. They didn't have time to put leaven in it, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes and on their shoulders. So the people, man, they just took the unleavened bread, whatever they had, wrapped it up, and they went. Now here's Pharaoh and the Egyptians urging them to go. Let's turn back to Exodus 11, verse 2 and 3. Remember this? "Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. He told them, here, you're going to have favor with the Egyptians. They're going to give you their stuff, their silver and their gold. Wonder if they found that hard to believe. But look at verse 35. So they're urging them to go. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, which we just read, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. You know what this is? They were getting paid for all the years of service in Egypt. They're not going to cheat you out of doing what you did. They built cities and all kinds of things. The Egyptians were glad to see them go. They says, get out of here. And they were paid to leave. God is good. You know, sometimes we feel cheated in this way or another. We don't have to worry. God will take care of us. He'll defend us. He'll take care of us. You know, sometimes we think it's unfair. They don't even know the Lord, and look what's happening to them. They're well taken care of, and look at me going through the struggle here today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He'll take care of you. They leave and are getting all this silver and gold to go. That's wonderful. Verse 37, then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses, and that's the city they built. That's where they were, to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. That's not counting, that's men. That's not counting children and women. Went from Ramses and to Succoth. They believe, because it says 6,000 men, they're probably, with everyone, it's maybe about 2 million people in this wilderness journey to the promised land. That's a lot of people. Poor guy Moses had to lead these people, about 2 million people. And verse 38, and a mixed multitude went up with them also, and the flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. It says here a mixed multitude went with them. So with the children of Israel, probably friends they had made, foreigners went with them. Egyptians maybe, foreigners, a mixed multitude, and maybe some that didn't believe in Jehovah God. They just decided to go along. No doubt some were not believers in Jehovah. It caused trouble on the way. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Verse 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. Now, so he called the name of the place Dab-Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude, there you go, there's the same people that went with them. Now the mixed multitude were among them, yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? These people gave in and probably caused this complaining and all, because they weren't really true followers and believers of Jehovah. And so it caused a problem when they were in the wilderness journey. Back to our text, verse 39. And so they left, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. See, God says, go, they just went right after the plague. They took off. Didn't have a chance to take anything but unleavened bread here, dough. Now, the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. The whole time span that they were there was 430 years, and they're finally getting out. Sometimes we think it's taken a long time for God to answer our prayer. He said he would bring them to the promised land, and here it is, 430 years later. That's a long time. That first generation never saw it. 430 years, total time. Verse 41, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt, or the army of the Lord. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. Sad to say today, not many of them really observe the right thing here. Verse 43, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Here's the law. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. Well, if they get circumcised in probably a greater follow Jehovah, then he may eat it, be part of it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. Don't break any of the lamb's bones. And all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover of the Lord, they believe and want to be part of your group and take part in the Passover, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. So there was provision for someone to come into that family of God. But then they had to do what was required and be circumcised, because that was the Old Testament law. And so, as today, one has, in order to come into the family of God, one must believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And later on, we're baptized to demonstrate that we now believe. Now, one law, it'll be the same law for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. They have to become like you in order to participate. Thus, all the children of Israel did, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. So he did it. One thing, in verse 46, you carry the flesh outside of the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. Does that sound familiar? If we turn to Psalm 34, speaking of the Messiah, Psalm 34, verse 20. Psalm 34, 20. We read, speaking of the Messiah, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. That's one of those prophecies fulfilled. Let's turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 32. Then the soldiers came while Jesus was on the cross and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth that you may believe. For these things were done, why? That the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. Referring back to this prophecy in Psalm 34. Next week, we continue on our journey. Lord, thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you for allowing us to see clearly Jesus, our Passover lamb. who shed his blood for the remission of our sin. We thank you for that, Lord. We just pray that we would trust in your grace for salvation. It is so wonderful to have your Son intercede for us and become that Lamb of God so that we can be cleansed. We thank you, Lord. It is wonderful to know that we will be with you in heaven, that we will not face judgment, but we have been passed over because you see us righteous in Christ. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.